Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. So what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Wow. We were therefore buried with him through the baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been unified with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. But we know that our old self was crucified with him, so the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to this sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin. I love this. For once and for all. Say, for once and for all. But the life he lives to God. He lives to God. Hey, Easter is coming and it's a few weeks away now. Scary thought. We're going to be celebrating Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And there's so many things happening in the calendar of the year. And I know some of you love Easter. In fact, so much so you've probably been eating hot cross buns since the 1st of January. Is there any early hot cross buns eaters? Like you eat it straight as they come out. Show of hands. You sicken me, all of you. All of you. And I met someone after the 9 a.m. service that told me they started eating hot cross buns after Easter finished last year. I said to them, man, there needs to be a salvation appeal for you and an altar ministry. Because to me, that sounds wrong. I mean, don't those things go off? It's weird. But here's the thing. With Easter coming, we look forward because we look forward not just to the one-part story of Christ, but two parts. It is the death of Jesus Christ, but it is also the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, so many different beliefs, so many different walks of life, so many different religions, so many different conversations, often at times have the chat, have the conversation, have the theology on gods who had done great things in their past lives. So when you were to meet one of these people, it would be, hey, how great was the story of this person? How great was what they did? There's no reference to the current living being and deity of that God. But that is the beauty of the Christ that we serve. We don't just celebrate the fact that he died, we celebrate the fact that he is risen. And it's not just a past tense, the fact that he is risen, and as Paul goes to lengths to preach about, it's that he died and rose again so that you and I can now experience and walk in this resurrecting life. He says, he so clearly makes a distinction. You have a choice. You have a choice between your old self and your new self. And he starts to unpack this concept of the resurrected life. He starts to unpack this concept of sin. And he says, sin, what is it? It's anything that separates you and I from God. And he starts to unpack this theology that was put in place since the fall of man, since Adam and Eve, since God wanted to do life with them, wanted them to have everything and live in the boundaries that he set for them. Ultimately, they failed. And so many, many years later, in comes Jesus Christ, and he dies for once and for all. And the title of my message this morning is Because He Lives, Because He Lives. So Paul starts to talk to the church in Rome, and he starts to unpack these principles. He starts to ask these questions. He starts to really dive down into some deep points, and he makes a difference. He says, listen, it's not just about what Christ has done. It's not just about a story that you read in his death and resurrection. It is about you now partnering with this resurrected life. It is about you now living in this new life. He talks about the body and how it tried to take care of itself and how it was to look out for itself. And he makes a difference that you're not to live this way anymore. He's talking about our decisions. He's talking about our mind. He's talking about our will. He's talking about the different parts of our body, the different parts of the entity that makes us up that God so wonderfully designed and made. Can I get my three helpers up on stage? My three incredibly strong, handsome, and good-looking helpers up on stage. Give him a round of applause. This is Arjun, David, and Nishan, incredibly looking young men. And I like this. It's like a short to tallest. If you have an insecurity issue, Arjun, I just poked at it there. And, you know, so when God designed us, he designed us as these tripartite beings. That means that we were all designed to have a spirit, a soul, and a body. In fact, Paul touches on it here in Romans, and later on, as we dive a bit deeper in the New Testament, Paul touches on it again. But we were all designed to have this spirit, soul, and body. And so for all intents and purposes, you got your body, you got your soul, spirit right here. Now, since the fall of man, since sin that had separated us, we operate in a fallen world. Everybody, you agree with that, you know that. So we operate in a fallen world. So Paul says that there used to be a way of living, and it used to be maybe an okay way of living. It's just that it doesn't apply now because of Christ's death and resurrection. And also because of what he did, he now can give us and partner with us a new spirit. But before then, before Christ's spirit was but died and before he was risen again and then given to us to be residing inside of us, before that, we were left to our own devices. So we were left with this body and this soul, this emotional, this mental state of ours, which would control what we did. In other words, like if I felt bad about something, hey, buddy, you know, give that person back the reaction that they deserve. Hey, you text them back what they ought to know. And you know, I'm feeling a little bit angry. So you know what? You do what you need to do, buddy. You go to the gym, you work out, because when you meet that person next time, it's all in. It's all in. It's on. And we were left in this fallen, broken world. How do I know that? Because in the Old Testament, with the high priests and the Levites, you would have to, as a body, he would have to come to an altar and say, here's a sacrifice because I messed up. Here's a sacrifice because I messed up, I fell short, and I can't go into that next room because you're the priest, you can go in there, but I'm going to bring you my sacrifice because I messed up. And thanks, I guess I'll see you again in future. And oh, no, it's been 2 hours, better go back, I stuffed up. And you put it back, and yeah, it's me again, I'm back again. Yep, same mistake. You put it back on there, all right, cool, well, I guess I'll see you in an hour. Yep. Probably 30 minutes. You go back, you go, oh, I'm the same as, sorry, it was just, and you're back again. And the cycle would go on and on and on and on. And we laughed, but it was so inconvenient because you had to give it and then go to your hometown. Imagine stuffing up on the way to your hometown. Oh man, I got nothing. I've got to give a sacrifice. Anyway, do I go and steal that sheep? I mean, it's going to be a sacrifice. It's like, you're weighing it up. I mean, and you're just bringing it back. And Paul's trying to highlight, see, in a world, in a modern Christian living, in 21st century Christian, we don't quite comprehend that. We don't quite grasp it. That's why when I'm singing those songs that we were in worship, you know, on that cross, like he died for me, you know, my Savior, my risen King, it means something to me. Because I picture myself and I picture my life and I picture the mistakes and this is me and I picture, and I don't know about you, but I would have been constantly going to that high priest. I stuffed up again, I'm sorry. And I would have gone back and I would have had to do it again. But Paul says, here's the beauty of the gospel, is that Christ came and he died for once and for all. For once and for all. So Christ comes, gives us this new life. And it's not just any new life, it's the spirit of the resurrected Savior. And he says, now the spirit of the resurrected Savior comes into your life. It aligns with your life. Now you don't have to do this juggle by yourself anymore. Now you don't have to have these temporary fixings anymore. Now you don't have to think, how am I going to do this life by myself? Because you've got a greater power residing inside of you. There's a spirit of Christ, not just anyone. It's the spirit of victory. It's the spirit of a resurrected Savior. It's the spirit of power in your life. That is what we all, every single person, doesn't matter how young, how old, doesn't matter if you're in this place for the first time or 2,000th time. It does not matter. Every single person has the access in their life because of what Christ did to have this resurrected power residing in their life now. But I don't know about you. It's easy to preach, easy to get hyped up on, but it's pretty tough. Because if the spirit of the resurrected Savior, as Paul said, is now in us, and we have access to this new life that governs our way of thinking, our way of walking, our way of doing things, how come I don't always do it? How come I don't always do it? I think at times it's because we want to keep that resurrection power. We want to keep that spirit of Christ kind of at arm's length. What do I mean by that? I mean, we want to keep the power simmering on the stove. You know? Like, God, that's about enough now. That'll do, God. You know, you're prodding at that. I'll deal with that in 6 months' time. Listen, church was really good on Sunday, but I got a week and I just bring it down. I don't think anyone denies that there's resurrection power inside of us. It's just that we kind of want to keep it at arm's length. And when things get tricky, when truth of the word of God hit, when God asks us to step out, when he asks us to do something, when he asks to move in that power, when he asks to move in that authority, when he asks of us to move in that victory, God, just bring it down. Bring it if you could just, because that's pretty challenging and that's pretty hard. So maybe if I could just compartmentalize you when I need you. You know, when I'm laying hands on someone to pray for them, I need you. So come on in. Sweet, awesome, yep. Power of God, awesome. But at work, listen, if you could just go a little bit further, actually, because, you know, I'm at work and I'm not that. Yeah, a bit further. And, I'm back at church. No. Hey, you know where you need to be. Hey, whoa. We laugh about it. But I wonder how many times in my life I've grieved the Spirit of God with that way of thinking. Because God knew we could never reach him, so he came down to reach us and gave us the ultimate sacrifice. And when he died on that cross, here's the thing. A Savior who simply died on a cross could only ever just offer us forgiveness. But a Savior who died and then rose again offers us forgiveness, but then also has the ability to offer us the power of the resurrected life inside of us. It's a pretty big difference. Now we kind of understand what Paul writes when he says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now we get it. Now we get this journey that we're on. Now we get that we're united with the Spirit of the Lord, and our lives become a living testimony of the goodness and kindness and favor of God. But not only that, it becomes a testimony of the living power that resides within us. Don't forget, it's a daily choice. It has to be. Because there's still a wrestle here. Maybe that's why it says in Romans chapter 12, do not be what? Conformed by this world, but by the transforming, by the renewal of your mind, know these things, test these things that you might know the acceptable, pleasing will of the Father. In other words, just because the Spirit of God resides within you doesn't mean you get a free pass at life. Because it cost our Savior his life. So the question is, what does it cost you? Anything good in life has a cost. And the Spirit of God was the greatest gift to humanity. So if it cost him something, how dare I treat it with content? Can you give a round of applause? Thank you guys so much. And the paradox of Christianity is makeovers and changes and all that stuff is good and great. But the paradox of Christianity is that it doesn't change you from the outside in. It's always been from the inside out. That's why it's about having revelation of the Spirit of God and the power of the resurrected Savior that resides inside of you. All those things might be great, but they can never fully replace. They can never live up to a redeemed, reconciled, and restored spirit that lives inside of us all. This guy called Eugene Peterson, and he's written some incredible things, had some amazing thoughts, and he refers in the Message translation, also in some of his teachings and studies, to this term, or this terminology, the resurrection life. And he refers a lot of times in his teachings, and he refers in the Message translation Bible to a lot of Paul's points like this. It is the resurrection life. In fact, Colossians 3:1 to verse 4 puts it like this. If you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from what? His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. I love that. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators. That's powerful. Because, you know, you can have a conversation, and I don't know if you've had the conversation before, but I certainly have, with people who they're going through stuff. And life is in turmoil, and things are crazy outside. But have you ever had a chat with someone and looked them in the eye, and they've actually told you, you know what, actually things are pretty good. And have you ever had a chat and looked someone in the eye and they actually mean it? There's a deeper power at work there. It's not a fake facade. It's not a mask they're wearing. They actually believe it. Why? Because they actually believe that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. They actually have a revelation that I've got. Things might be tough on the outside, but something wild would have to happen to break me on the inside, because there's a supernatural power at work inside of me. There's a victory that I have a realization of the cost that Christ had and the victory that I now walk in. There's a revelation of what they have on the inside of them. Paul says, he is your life. And I think the reason why Paul keeps talking this way is because he understands it's a choice. You can choose the old life. You can choose a new life. You can choose to be in between if you like. But we know what the Bible says about being lukewarm. But it's a choice that you get to make. And the choice we make is just an amazing testimony because of the love of God. Like, he loves us so much, he gives us the opportunity and the position to actually make these choices, to have free will. Paul says it's this resurrection life. Because he lives, now you can go. Now you can live your life in the way it's meant to live. Romans 8:15-17. He continues to unpack this conversation. Remember, this is to the church. This resurrection life you receive from God, it's not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are. We are father and children. Wow. But we know that we are going to get exactly what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. I love that thought. Because at no stage at Nations Church should we pretend to get up on stage and say, you know what, like, you've made this decision to follow Christ and we're in this boat together, and, you know, I promise you from here on in, life's just going to be absolutely sweet. It's going to be open door after open door. It's going to be step after step. No. My salvation, my purpose, my circumstance, my beliefs don't lie in the next steps. They always lie in the character of my Father. Always. I can't put my hope on something external because my hope has already been fulfilled in a Savior who died and then rose again. If you understand that, if we understand that, then we stop hoping for things in others because we understand our hope has already been fulfilled. It's easy to hope in others, but when it gets broken, dangerous territory. But when you have a hope, like Jess said before, it is an anchor. An anchor. The boat cannot leave that spot despite the storms that are going around it. It doesn't say there's not going to be storms around it. It just says that the boat, the ship, will stay in that one spot. A few years ago, my wife gave a testimony. We were talking about Because He Lives. And in the video, she said this: when I asked Jesus into my life, things changed. The darkness that I used to feel, I didn't feel anymore. There are times in life where things may still overwhelm me, but because of Jesus, I have peace in the middle of whatever life brings, the stressful, the hard, and the scary. And there's something about a child of God that can have honest conversations. There's something about a child of God who understands the resurrection life that can have real chats because He lives. The He is vitally important. And when I say because He lives, I want to ask you this question this morning. Who is He to you? Who's He to you? Because He lives. Because if that statement, because He lives, is a reflection of your loving Heavenly Father, but it is a reflection of Him being someone who's maybe a little bit tight, maybe a little bit stingy, then you'll only ever walk in the partial victory of the resurrection life inside of you. You'll only ever set up all the partial. So God, you know what? I know we've got 5 kids in our family, and you know, I've been praying for so long, but you know, well, one's come to Christ. And God, let's just leave it there, because that's good. That's good. I'll take that partial victory. Or when God gives a promise and maybe a word for your life, something that needs to be fulfilled. And you know what, God, it's okay. It's been a few years. I've only seen parts of it, but that's okay. I'll take what that is. But that's not who He is. He is a loving Father. He is a good and gracious God. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He is a gracious God. He is a God that loves you so much, He would send His one and only Son. That's who He is. So when we say because He lives, we understand that because He lives and He resides inside of us, we don't have these random, bad, crazy, messed up things inside of us. No, we've got what's inside of us is resurrection power from a good and perfect God. You can have all the stuff, and that's good and that's great, but what good is it having everything if it's not what God has intended you to have in the first place? Because as Paul would say, the resurrection power in your life always changes your perspective. Always. It speaks of you either looking down and walking around and doing this and doing that, or maybe it's time to live a life that expands. It's time to live a life maybe that deepens. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. Now we are set right with God by means of this sacrificial death, the consummate blood sacrifice. There is no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. For if we were at our worst, we were put on friendly terms with God by a sacrificial death of His Son. Now we're at our best. Just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of His resurrection life. Wow. Now that we've actually received this amazing friendship with God, we are no longer content to simply say it in just a plodding prose, but we sing and shout our praises to God through Jesus the Messiah, because He lives. Because He lives, your life can expand. It can deepen. That speaks of influence. It speaks of capacity. It speaks of breadth and of width. Jesus didn't just die so we can have this shallow, contradicting and conflicting life that just contracts each and every day, getting smaller and smaller. Because the enemy would love that. The enemy would love you to live a small life, to get smaller and smaller to the point of that you're just, I've just got to get through this. This is just me and I'm just in my own place and I've just, no, that's not the life Christ died to give you. Christ died and rose again to give you a life in the deep. He didn't die to give you a life playing in the sand, thinking, well, I just got to, oh, yeah, that looks good, but I just, that looks good. Before we know it, how did I get here? I'm not even near the water anymore. How did I get here? It's because we can get so caught up and walking around. But Christ, his word says he's called us to live this life, to expand and to deepen, to have influence, capacity, the breadth and width, the understanding of the power and the victory that lives and resides inside of us. That's why so many chats I have with people and some of the craziest stuff, man, I'll tell you, I've heard. But when people are like, hey, listen, I don't know about Christianity, it's a little bit boring. I'm like, cool, but that's not the word of God. So you can have your views, but I thought Christianity was based on being a Christian, and I thought being a Christian was based on the word of God. And that's not what the word of God says. And we come back to it as the band joins me in Romans chapter 6, the very first scripture we read today. So what shall we say then? Do we go on sinning? Do we go on sinning so that grace can increase? No. For those who have died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death as well? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in that order, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We too may live a new life. We were chatting amongst our connect, and one of the guys brought it up. And, you know, like Jess said last week, it's very rare to get tripped up by a flat-out lie of the enemy. Like, flat-out. Just totally absurd, totally crazy, totally unfounded. You know, like, generally speaking, that's a bit far-fetched. But it's very subtle. It's a half-truth. And no more so than in 21st century Christian living. Like I said before, there's people in parts of the world that literally giving their lives to be in seats like you're on right now. And I think when it comes to this new life, when it comes to walking and really partnering with this resurrection power, because remember, it's already inside of you. Times in my life, I've listened to this partial truth. Listen, Garrett, you haven't been saved because of your works. That's true. But it's been a full stop. And that might sound true to you, but that's not what the Word of God says. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, the Word of God says that you weren't saved, you didn't make it because of your good works. In fact, you were saved because of Christ, but you were saved to then do good works which he had pre-prepared for you already in advance because of his workmanship. So I'm back here again. Well, you know, it was all God anyway. It wasn't my absolutely correct. But add on to that. Well, it wasn't me, it was all you, Jesus. But my life doesn't stop here. Maybe it's about doing something. Maybe for you, it's your workplace. Maybe for you, it's a neighbor you haven't chatted to in a while. Maybe it's someone at school or high school. Maybe it's as simple as going back on that God dream that he gave you so many years ago. Maybe God's been challenging you in the area of prayer. Maybe he's been challenging you in the area of giving. I don't know. There could be a million different, maybe the area of thinking. I don't know what it is for you. But maybe the call to the church right now in this Easter season is, hey, you've got power within you already. Do something with it. And I apologize if maybe this is like a little bit blunt or hard, but I just got to preach the word of God. And maybe the asking isn't for more power because the power already resides within you. Maybe the asking is, God, how do you want me to use this power that resides within me? Because He lives, don't make it just a full stop. Add your life to that because He lives. Because He lives, I now have certainty. Because He lives, I now can have boldness. Because He lives, I now can share my testimony with others. Because He lives, I have a freedom that perhaps I didn't even know was possible. Because He lives, I'm able to have these conversations with people that before I wasn't sure how they were going to go. But because He lives, what is your story? What is the statement? What is your life tied to with the power that works and resides inside of you? Because He lives. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes all across this place? Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you and only you. You're what we long for. You're what we desire. You're what our hearts yearn for. And at the end of the day, it's all about you. It's never been about us. It's never been about our opinion or our agenda. It's certainly never been about our strengths. It's been about you. And you're a good God. And we won't dare to believe otherwise this morning because you are a good God.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.